Bank of America gets a break on a $1 billion fine. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. A federal appeals court in New York has thrown out a decision against Bank of America and its mortgage lending unit Countrywide in a case dating back to the financial crisis. The Department of Justice had accused the bank of fraud, saying Countrywide misrepresented the quality of mortgage loans sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in 2007 and 8. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace says more. Lewis, what's the backstory here?
Well, a lot of people lacked foresight during that time, including Countrywide, which decided to call this particular program Hustle. That unlucky name actually stands for High Speed Swim Lane. It was basically a way to speed up and automate creating and selling mortgages. Countrywide sold a bunch of these Hustle loans to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The feds have been trying to get damages for what they say was a real hustle, and an earlier decision agreed with the fraud allegation. It would have fined the bank more than $1.2 billion, and it imposed a rare individual fine on executive Rebecca Mayrone. That decision seems to have given the DOJ leverage in negotiating other big settlements related to the financial crisis, including a more than $16 billion settlement with B of A. But three judges at the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York overturned the whole thing, saying the case for fraud just isn't strong enough. The takeaway is that this could weaken the government's ability to settle more of this type of case.
All right, Lewis, thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE 100 index in London is up about 0.6%. The DAX in Germany up about 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up. European finance ministers are meeting in Brussels today to discuss the financial situation in Greece. This comes after the Greek parliament narrowly approved further austerity measures on Sunday. Meanwhile, a report yesterday from the International Monetary Fund said that Greece needs upfront, unconditional debt relief. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson explains what's at stake in today's meeting.
This is all part of a bailout agreed to last summer, a review that could unlock funds Greece very much needs to keep running. But this isn't quite a repeat of last year, says Nicholas Spiro with Larissa Advisory.
The focal point of concern right now is the persistent rift between the creditors themselves.
The International Monetary Fund and Eurozone creditors, especially Germany, disagree about what Greece needs to do to make future bailout targets. And the IMF is calling for a significant restructuring of the country's debt. Mujtaba Rahman with the Eurasia Group says Greece is likely to receive its funding from Europe, in part because of reforms like those passed on Sunday.
The bigger question is whether the IMF is party to the agreement, and if indeed the IMF is, then one can expect fairly substantial debt relief as well.
Even so, he says Greece is still in a fragile place politically and economically. And the new austerity measures, like higher taxes on fuel, will add still more pain. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
One of the buzzwords in education these days is grit, the idea that qualities like perseverance, curiosity, and self-control can be as important as academic skills for success in school. Writer Paul Tough has been looking at the latest research on how those so-called non-cognitive skills are developed in young children, starting in infancy, and why kids growing up in poverty or in stressful environments are often at a disadvantage. He's out with a new book called Helping Children Succeed, What Works and Why. Paul, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So if children don't have that foundation, are they just out of luck or can they actually be taught?
Not at all. I think there is a lot that schools can do to help kids who come in without that sort of foundation. The one word in your question that I am challenging at this point in my thinking is the word taught, that I don't think that the main way that schools, when they're successful, develop these capacities in children is through giving them grit lessons and curiosity worksheets. It's more about creating an environment in the classroom and in the school as a whole that encourage kids to feel a sense of motivation and belonging and connection, especially if they don't have that kind of feeling at home.
Yeah, talk a little more about that environment and how critical it is in the early years. And if you don't have that, how it might be replicated in some ways in the school.
the adults who surround children really have this responsibility. We're the ones who shape their environment. And that's true in the home and it's true in the school. There are a number of interventions that I read about in the book that work with parents, supporting them, especially in children's early years. It's not about sort of having like a souped up, super stimulating environment. It's just about sort of warmth and closeness and connection. But what neuroscientists can demonstrate is that that makes a huge difference in the development of these capacities. And then in school, I think when teachers are able to, first of all, create sort of a calm, stable classroom, but also to give students a sense of challenge, to give them work that's actually interesting and demanding and pushes them a little bit, what psychologists are finding is that that tends to create these mindsets in kids, these sort of psychological states that make a huge difference in whether they're able to succeed.
And there's a lot of economic payoff here, that those students will go on to be more productive workers. They tend to earn more. What's the return on this investment?
One of the things about this research that really strikes me is that even though we're talking about stuff that seems sometimes like as if these non-cognitive skills are stuff that has nothing to do with reading and math, in fact, it has lots to do. You know, it lays the groundwork for students being able to focus on their regular schoolwork. And they're going to be more likely to show up to school, to graduate, and having more kids graduate from high school, more kids be prepared to go on to college and succeed there. That makes a huge difference for not only those children, but for the economy as a whole.
All right. The book is Helping Children Succeed. It's out today. The author is Paul Tough. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can hear more of our conversation later this morning at marketplace.org. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.